And we're leading up to Easter, and we're tracing Jesus in the scripture and rediscovering the way that Jesus operated, the way that Jesus lived, the way that Jesus spoke, the way that Jesus did the things that Jesus did. And so last week we started this series. If you weren't here, you can go back and watch it. It's the beauty of the internet. Come on, somebody, that you can go back and watch it, or you can rewatch it, whatever you need to do. But today we're going to pick it up in John chapter 13. And I'm just going to read the whole text, and then we're going to go back and highlight some things. Here's what it says in John 13, verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put... Notice, Jesus knew some stuff, right? He knew the time. He knew the Father had put all things under his power, and that he'd come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. So he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing." There's a statement, right? How many, you didn't realize what Jesus was doing in your life when you took that job? You thought that job was about you, and it was really about him. And so it says, you don't know, but later you will understand. "No," Peter said, and it's just like Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head." Get some head and shoulders going on here, right? "As well." And Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. He knew that too. Jesus knew some stuff. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet," notice this, "you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know," here's where you come in. "You need to know these things, and you will be blessed if you do them." I want to talk to you today as we work our way through the way of Jesus, the way of the towel. And in this towel story, there's a towel teaching for us today. And I'm going to highlight what I see as the main or important things that we need to take with us today. The first thing, if you're taking notes, you can write this down, is humility. Humility. Notice in verse 2, he says that it was being served, and Judas Iscariot was going to betray Jesus. You know, it was an uncomfortable situation already. And Jesus had a way of making it more uncomfortable. See, here's my concern. I think some of us come to church to feel comfortable. And I just wonder if maybe that's backwards sometimes. I think some of us maybe we're already comfortable. We're already comfortable enough. We need to come to church to be made uncomfortable. Now, that may seem radical to some of you, but that's exactly the kind of Jesus that Jesus was. He would walk into situations and make them even more uncomfortable. Now, to get this, you need to understand, because this may seem weird, this story of washing feet and all. But in that day, it was custom. It was customary. In most every house, you would have a basin at the doorway, and you would have a spot where a person could come and wash their feet because they weren't wearing Hey Dudes, all right? They were wearing sandals. And so a servant or someone, especially if a wealthy person, if a person of note, maybe a rabbi or whatever, if a religious leader, if a political leader, if someone of note came to your house, it was just a known thing that you would wash their feet. And Jesus does this crazy, crazy cultural act. An act that some servant should have done, but instead, shockingly, Jesus gets up and he begins to wash the feet. He begins to work the room. Now I was trying to think of what could exemplify this to us, because like we're not really going to do that, right, at our houses. And, you know, but maybe it'd be like if people came over and you brushed their teeth for them, you know, if you said, you know, and how many, that'd be like, ooh, nah, nasty, you know, I want to do it. And maybe even flossed them or whatever, you know? And that would kind of be like this, because how many of you, your homes are like shoes off homes? Huh? See, some of you don't know what you're stepping in before you come home. See, because I've seen some guys clear their throat when they're coming out of Rule King. Come on, somebody. And I don't know where all those guys have been, you know, and so you're stepping in. But it's even worse back then, because they weren't wearing their Hey Dudes. They were wearing sandals, and they were stepping in. Sometimes it was dung, feces, urine, because keep in mind they had no sanitation system, so you had to get rid of that stuff somewhere. And so for a lot of people, they just throw it out in the road, just throw it out in the street to get rid of it. And so you're walking through dirt, debris, urine, feces, refuse, whatever. And then these guys come in with their hardened, calloused, cracked feet and all this stuff on them, and a rabbi gets down and begins to wash that. It's shocking. It's uncomfortable. See, because many people want to be served first, right? We're people that we want to be served. How many, that's the reason why you go out to eat. Somebody else cooks the food, takes the order, brings the food, and does the dishes. Can I get a better amen today, right? And so we want to be served. And so we live in a culture where position is everything. People want to know, where are you? Oh, you work for that company? Well, you know, where? What's the position? How much power do you wield? You know, that's how our city runs. That's how our nation runs. But the Tao way, maybe you need to write this down. The Tao way is to lay down your position. See, Jesus laid it down. When he took up the towel, he was laying down his position. So the question is, who and how do you need to do that today? How do you need to do that today? Because for the people who like to flip things and like to twist things and all, I'm telling you, when you begin to serve people, it causes an uncomfortableness. An uncomfortable feeling. Is uncomfortableness even a word? I don't even know. I didn't even look that up. But here's the thing. Is it's not about me. And I need to say that to myself every once in a while. How about you? Because I'll tell you this too. It's not about you either. Did you know that? Matter of fact, I just think we need to practice it this morning. Turn to yourself and say, it's not about me. And now turn to somebody else and say, it's not about you. And don't enjoy that too much, all right? Because what it is about, here's what it is about. After you come to Jesus, here's what it is about. Okay, if you just got saved last week, if you were one of the people that got saved last week online, if you were one of the people who got saved last week inside this building, I'll just give you the fast track of what it's all about. It's all about him. It's all about bringing him glory. It's all about honoring him. And when you're all about honoring him, here's what you do. You don't look for glory or accolades from other people. See, a lot of times we want, did somebody see that? Did somebody see me give my gift to that person? I hope everybody caught that. Maybe even somebody's going to post about it later. Because that would just be awesome if they could just see my willingness to serve. And so we come at it with this angle of, you know, and some of us get upset if enough people aren't recognizing us. If enough people aren't praising us. And we're like, you know, now other people praise me. Now why doesn't this person praise me? I'm not happy that this person, I don't know if they've ever praised me. But here's what true servants know, that God sees. God sees you serving in the nursery even if nobody else does. God sees you giving food to that homeless person. God sees you helping that person back on their feet again, even though nobody else does. He sees you driving your neighbor who can't drive themselves to that appointment, but he sees you get in the car even though nobody else sees it. Because, and here's what he does. He says, when I see it, when I see what you do in secret, I will reward you openly. I'll reward you openly. You ready to write down the second word? It's humility, and then it's our identity. Jesus knew some things. Here's what astounds me about this story, just crazy, because Jesus knew that Jesus was going to betray him, and he washes his feet. He serves him. He knew that he was getting ready to get up from this dinner, go out, and send Jesus into a world of pain that no one had ever experienced before. Not the pain that he would endure, internal and external. And there's a thing in our culture, I was thinking about this, how in our culture these days, and it's happened, I've watched it transition in leadership books and in writings and things like that. I know Jim Collins has written about some of this stuff, like level five leaders. And now it's popular, even in secular culture, to talk about servanthood. And that you can more or less serve your way to the top. That if you'll serve other people, that you can be a more influential leader. And that's true. That's true that can happen in your life. But that's not what Jesus is doing. Jesus is not saying, serve so that you can become the CEO. Serve so that you can be elevated. Serve so that other people will recognize you. Serve so that you can be greater and have more influence. Instead, Jesus is saying, serve because and only because you're my disciple. And I'm doing it. I want you to do it. Not to get something. Instead, it's to give something up. To release everything. To not get a position. To lay down your position. To serve anyone, even your enemy. Even your enemy. It's like humble intelligence. Because Jesus is humble, but he's aware. He's aware, and here's how he does it. Here's what he's aware of. He's not just aware of his enemy being in the house, but he's aware of something else. Look at verse 3 again. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Jesus knew his identity. Look at that. He knew where he came from. He knew where he was going. He knew where his power resided. His value did not come from the task that he was about to do, but from God himself. His identity was in God, in who he is, in his relationship with his Father. In other words, you may be a toilet bowl cleaner person. And that's what you do, but really, you're not a toilet bowl cleaner person. You are a child of God who happens to earn a living by cleaning toilets. You're not a teacher of some of those kids. You are a child of God who happens to instruct the next generation to help them to be all that God wants them to be. You are a child of God who happens to also lead a bank, who also happens to be a stay-at-home mom, that you're parenting your child in this season, and it's the hardest job you've ever had in all of your life. But before all of that job, before all of those things, you are a child of God. And see, as a child of God, you don't have to prove anything to anybody. You don't have to prove who you are, whatever. You know who you are. Here, let me say it like this. Maybe write this down. When you know your value, you can perform your calling. When you know that your value is in him, I can do any job I need to do. I can serve wherever I need to serve. And I was thinking about this too, how that when we get before God and God addresses us as we come toward him in heaven, here's what the scripture teaches, is that he will say, well done, good and faithful servants. So serving him, that's like a goal. That's like the ambition that we have to be able to hear those words. And I was thinking about this too. And you know, how can I make this alive in 2023? How can I help you to understand this? And I was thinking about this. I was thinking about a model of somebody, and I was thinking about David LaFon in our church. And some of you don't even know David LaFon because he doesn't get up on this stage hardly ever. And he doesn't really, you know, get out here and get around adults much to get, you know, known or anything like that. But every elementary age kid in this church knows who Mr. David is, because he has served in kids ministry for almost, because church isn't old enough yet, but almost 23 years. He came, I think they came on the second week, I got the story right, they came on the second week of our services in the movie theater and rededicated themselves unto the Lord, and immediately David felt a call that he should go serve in the kids ministry of this church, and he's been serving there, catch this, get this, every week ever since. Pastor, aren't you afraid he's going to burn out after 22 years? No. Because if that was going to happen, I think it would already happen. I think what it's done, it didn't burn him out, it lit him up. I said it lit him up, because what happened is he leaves church full. And I remember here a while back, they were getting ready to move, and they were going to move about an hour's drive. Instead of living right over here in Brownsburg and being just a few minutes away, they were going to live about an hour's drive. And I thought, oh my gosh, Mr. David is going, oh, I'm like Fred Sanford, you know, some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. But anyway, like he's going to leave, you know, he's going to have to go to a church closer. And he said, we're not going anywhere. It's one day a week. Get up on Sunday. We'll just get up a little earlier and get there. And they've still been here every Sunday. They drive an hour one way to get here to serve kids and to help. Listen, in 22 years, you've impacted a whole generation of children for Jesus. I'm talking about rewards that don't tarnish. I'm talking about rewards that don't fade. I'm talking about rewards that you don't just sit to the side or somewhere, that award somewhere in the house. I don't know, maybe it's in the attic now. I'm talking about rewards that will last for eternity. Somebody make some noise today. See, I just wish everybody left full every week. If you need more energy or you need to leave full, it's not about, you know, well, I don't get fed enough. Let me tell you something. Most American Christians are well fed in every way. And it doesn't matter needing more food. It's a matter of using the food you've received. And Jesus, one time when he was sharing with a woman and the disciples came back and they said, "Lord, are you hungry? Are you needing some food? I know you've been out here." And we finally got the Big Macs and we're back and we're ready to feed you. And he says, "I want you to know that I've had food you don't even know about. Because I just shared with a woman and her life has changed." I got to move on. Here's the next word to write down. Is the word receiving. All right, receiving. And this is kind of different, all right, because maybe you've never looked at it this way, but in verse 5, here's what it says. "After that, he poured the water into the basin. He began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And so he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?' And Jesus replied, 'You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand.' 'No,' Peter said, 'you shall never wash my feet.' And Jesus answered, 'Unless I wash you, you have no part of me.'" We got to receive. I studied a little bit, found out there's approximately somewhere around 7,000 receptors, sensory receptors in your feet. There's a whole science around this called reflexology. And there are places that you can go in our community and they'll just treat your feet. Just help your feet. And you know, I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, you know, I don't really think about my feet a whole lot. How many of you, unless there's a problem, unless there's an issue, I just kind of cover them up. Don't really pay attention to them. They're clear down there. And I don't really go up to people and say, "Hey, how your feet doing?" You know? How's your feet this week? I don't really do that. But here's the thing about reflexology is that there's these receptors in your feet, and the thinking is that all those receptors connect to something else in your body. And so if you've got a kidney problem, if you've got another issue, they just find the kidney spot, you know, and start working on that. And that receptor then goes and hits that organ and hits that spot in your body to help it to be healthier. And I was thinking about that, how the foot has a holistic healing effect. And just the power of that. I know one of the things that we do, this is so fun, when we've gone on missions trips, is a lot of the dudes, we're out there, you know, laying block, and we're doing other stuff, and all, and the ladies help out as well. But then another thing that the ladies do often in our missions trips is they will have a manicure day for the women in the community. And these women line up. I'm talking line up. And the line gets longer as the day, because they leave and they say, oh, come. And they bring 10 friends, you know, later. And so one of the things our ladies started to do is, and Rochelle's a part of this, is they would do foot washing and pedicures as well. And we're talking about people who maybe wear a flip-flop, okay? And they're coming in, and it's not like these ladies have taken care of their feet. And they put their foot down in the bowl and whatever and everyone. I remember Rochelle said that she had this one lady, and she got in there, and she put her foot in the little basin thing, and she started massaging her foot and everything. She's like, "Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." I think she spoke in tongues too. She just like, "Oh, whew. Touched my receptor right there, you know? Thank you." And Jesus here's what Jesus does. He washes clean the foot, and maybe at the same time, he's bringing healing to the person. He's touching them, and he's bringing healing to them. I wonder who it is that maybe today the Lord would have you touch in a healing way. That he would have you touch them. And the way that you touch them, it sends a spiritual receptor to their soul. And maybe something that's been in there for a long, long time, all of a sudden starts to get healed. Because you reached out to them. Because you touched them. Jesus is also, right here, he's foreshadowing the cross. In which he's not just going to wash the soul. He's going to wash this soul, right? He's going to wash our inner soul. And a lot of people are kind of like Peter. They have trouble with Jesus doing that. I know some of you think, well, that's not me, but hold on. Maybe... You know, all too often it's like, well, Jesus, you know, is my Savior, but I want you to know I helped him out. Because I've done a lot of good in my life. I try to be a good person. Have you ever heard somebody say that? I try to be a good person. I try to do the right thing. I try to, and it's like there's something in us that wants to get the glory. There's something in us that you know. Have you ever been to a funeral and it was all about that person? But have you been to a funeral where it was all about the Lord and what he did through the person? I'm telling you, that's a funeral. You know, may it be said of you one day that when people gather around and they're telling stories, she let Jesus work in their life. I mean, it's incredible how they allowed the Lord to work in their life. What all the Lord was able to accomplish. See, we need to allow the Lord to work in our lives every day. How does he do that? He does that through his word. You're here today, right? I need to hear his word. I need to be a person of prayer. I need to be connected to him in an intimate relationship. And I need to allow his spirit to be poured out on me, just like that water was poured out on their feet. See, the way of the towel is also receiving from him. And here's the next thing is it demands action. It demands action. In rabbinic education, it was about mimicking your teacher. You would like live with the teacher. You would observe the teacher. You would watch how they did. You'd watch their mannerisms. And a lot of people would then become. Yeah, have you ever had somebody say to you, you're just like. I mean, even the way you move your hands, even the way you stand, even the way you fluctuate your voice, even the way you. Have you ever had somebody do that? And that's what the goal was. But Peter, when he knows, I think I know where this is going. No, I'm good, Lord. No, I'm good. And the Lord says, no, unless I wash you, you're not good. You're not good with this. I know, but what I'm thinking is now I'm going to have to wash John's feet. And I think John's got fungus. He doesn't, those things are nasty. I don't want to have to do that. And Jesus says, that's exactly what I'm calling you to do. He says, as a matter of fact, he says, I've set an example that you should do as I've done. How many think, Just real quick, a marriage service right here. If you served your partner like this, your marriage would be better. So why don't you do it? Well, if they would, no. You take the towel. You begin to serve. I'm convinced there would be way less marriage problems if we just do this right here. It would take your marriage to another level. See, the towel way is a call to lay something down. So what are you going to lay down today for your marriage? What are you going to lay down today for a relationship with that person? What are you going to lay down today to follow Jesus completely? You got to act radically to receive radical love. Look at verse 9. And so he says, "Then, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Peter goes from one extreme to the other. You know, it's like when somebody hears a message on tithing. You know, I preached on tithing a little bit a few weeks ago, and we illustrated it with some fruit up here so we could get a picture of what that was like. And a lot of people think church wants all my money, or God wants all my money. That's not what anybody said. The whole point of that message was God just says, give me one. You keep nine. Now, I think that's a pretty good deal. I think that's an amazing deal from a God who could ask for whatever he wanted. And so it's not the point of, you know, here's the point. When you see something you can do, do it. Do it. Yeah, you can tithe. You can give to that person. You can meet that person's need. That person needs food. You could do that. That person needs clothes. You could do that. What's right? You could serve in the kids' ministry. You could do that. You could serve in other areas. You could do that. That's what he's talking about. And listen, it's even just, you could say a word of kindness to somebody. And how many think that's a radical thing these days? You could even tweet something kindly and shock the whole world. You know, I was thinking about this too, that I don't have time to preach on this today, but there were two Uber drivers in the scripture. In the Old Testament. And one was Joseph, and the other was David. You can read about it later. But Joseph took food to his brothers. His dad prepared food, and he was an Uber driver. He took the food. That's all his job was. But you know what? He wound up being the king over Egypt as a result. But he started out as an Uber Eats driver. David was an Uber Eats driver. He was taking food to his brothers too. And then he saw a giant out there, and he's asking about the giant. And the next thing you know, David kills the giant. And next thing you know, David is king over Israel. But he started out as an Uber Eats driver. Just a thought today, all right? So wherever you are, serve well. Because God sees. Here's the next word, and I got to pick this up, is community. And if you want to see this modeled right here in our family, go on a discipleship walk. We got one coming up for the men, and there'll be another one later on for the ladies. You will see servanthood in concentration on a weekend. I mean, you'll see this principle just right there. Because here's the Jesus way. Let me just simplify the gospel. Here's the Jesus way. Do for one another. As you've seen me do to you, you do for other people. And then here's what he said, and they will know that you're my disciples by the way you love each other. I don't know about you, but I have countless experiences of people doing this. Countless experiences of people serving me in such a way that I saw Jesus in them. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen that? Where it was like Jesus was in your house. Or Jesus, you're on the discipleship walk or whatever. It's like, Jesus is here. You're in some kind of ministry and you come to it and the leader, and you're like, that's like Jesus serving me right now. One of the closest, and I just tell this quick because I've told it before, but it's when I was serving, and I was serving for nothing at a church that was planted on the north side. It was Northview, and it was sprung off of my home church, and they were starting out in a school and everything, and I volunteered there because I didn't have a job. And so I was just volunteering and volunteering week after week after week, a few months. And then I was getting hired to be a youth pastor in a church here in Indiana. And so I was going to be moving and everything. And the pastor of that church had me over for dinner. And we're eating. And he's asking about my apartment and how I got things set up. And he says, well, you got any dishes? And I said, no, yeah, I'm sure we'll figure that out. And he's like, Sandy? Let's give him these. And I'm like, what? They're not broken. They're not like cracked and chipped and whatever, you know, these old things or whatever. I mean, they look perfectly perfect. And he says, yeah, let's do that. And so they just boxed them up, took them out of their cabinet, not out of the garage. Not went up in the attic or whatever. I'm talking about either cabinet, took them out, boxed them up. I drove off with them. Jesus gave me those dishes. How many have been served so well by someone so selfless? Maybe it was so shocking, so unnatural, that it just felt like Jesus did it. Here's what I want. I want everybody here to have that experience. I want everybody here to feel what it feels like to be used of God so much that other people don't see you. They don't see you. They see Jesus in you. And when you've served like that, you'll drive an hour to do it again. You'll do whatever to do it again. Because there's no greater feeling. Philippians talks about it. It says, Jesus lowered himself and became a servant. So much so that God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name. I want you to feel what it feels like to have that experience. Let's pray. God, today, move in this place and help us to answer the call. As you speak to us, what's God calling you to do? What's God calling you to give up? What's God calling you to let go of? How is God calling you to pick up the towel and serve somebody so that one day you can hear, well done, good and faithful servant. If you're here today and you say, I want to hear those words. I want to hear those words. I want to serve so well that other people can see Jesus in me, that they see only him in me, that he just comes through so brightly that I begin to fade into the background. How many today, that's the way you want to serve your Lord? Just raise your hand up in the air and say, yeah, I'm committing to that all over again, all over again, all over again. God, in the name of Jesus, help us today to obey the call, to pick up the towel, and to do something maybe so shocking that other people, maybe our family won't even understand. People around it, they won't understand. I don't understand them. But that's okay, because you'll see it. And we trust you for your lifting power. Because we know when we lift others up, we get lifted up. Maybe you're here today or you're watching online and you need the cleansing power of the Lord. Maybe you've been one of those that you'd like to do it your own way. You'd like to do it yourself. You know, I'm a pretty good person. I try to, you know, be a good person or whatever. But the Bible says we're not good enough because we're fallible. We fail, we falter, we have sin. And the Bible says there's only one remedy for that, and it is the perfect one, the perfect Savior, and his name is Jesus. And that's what we've been singing about, talking about, preaching about today. And if you say, yeah, I need Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. I need to know God personally. If that's your desire today, I want to help you to do that. Just raise a hand in this room. If that's you, just raise it up. Say, yeah, I need him. I need him. I need him in my life. Online, just type the word decided in the chat. The word decided. And we're going to be praying for you as well. But come on, let's everyone pray this prayer so that those around us will have the courage to pray. I just want to lead you in a prayer of dedication of your life to the living God. Just say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe through his death, I can have life in you. So today I confess Jesus as the Savior of my sins, the forgiver of my past. From this day forward, as much as I know how, I surrender my life to you. Thank you for receiving me as a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's praise him today. For those who made that commitment, listen, if you made that commitment, here's what we'd like for you to do. It's just text a next step. And people do this every week, so this could be your week to do that. And all you got to do is just text the right word of what you say is my next step. And it could be baptism. We're going to baptize a ton of people at our next baptism. If you're here in this room and you'd like to figure out about that or something else as a next step, there's a next steps room over here. You can just go across the hall, talk to a human. Yes, a human will be there that you can talk to, and they'd be glad to talk to you about your next step. Listen, here's what I feel like. Here's what I feel like. I know you got chicken on your mind or whatever, but tune in for one more second. I feel like for some, the service isn't over. Yeah, I think it'd be easy just go out, talk in the lobby, get some more coffee or whatever, or go on your way. But some of you know God started something today. Something started in you. And God's not finished with it yet. It's So here's what I want you to do. I'm going to have prayer partners down to the front. You don't even have to go to them necessarily. You may need to just come and kneel down here because we're going to sing again. And as we're singing, if you say, I still need to find a spot. I need to find a spot where I can just let God speak more into my life because there's somewhere I'm supposed to pick up a towel. That there's somewhere God's stirring me. God's moving in me. And he's not done yet. And I want him to speak to me today. I want you to find that place. Don't leave here without finding that place to allow the Lord to finish what he started here in this service. All right, let's stand. Prayer partners, come on down. I'm going to lead in a prayer. Father, thank you for what you're doing in our church. Thank you for this journey with Jesus. God, we ask that we would look more like Jesus, talk more like Jesus, be more like Jesus, that we would serve like Jesus. Holy Spirit, draw every person to this altar that needs to bow their knee, that needs to find a place of prayer, that needs to maybe get with a prayer partner, whatever that looks like, to take it to a next level before we leave today. And God, help us to continue to spread your word everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, amen.